The year 2022 had its share of darkness, but also some light, some major advances in science and technology that could change life, change the world. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, has compiled a list of what he considers the most promising scientific and technology breakthroughs of the year, and he's with us now. Derek, hello.
Hi, it's good to be here.
So you write that the story of the year in technology might be the emergence of AI tools, artificial intelligence tools, that seem to trace the outer bounds of human creativity. Help us understand what these tools are. I gather you used one of them to write your article.
I did use one of them to write my article, yes. So I'd say there's two categories of tools here. There are text-to-image tools where you can prompt an AI to create an image by simply saying, I want a picture of an NPR host, you know, wearing a cowboy hat on the surface of Mars in the style of Van Gogh.
How did you
and
know?
Will do a decent job of that. Yeah, your last vacation, of course.
Yeah.
And it will do a decent job illustrating your previous vacation. You can also use it for writing. There's a new tool called ChatGPT, where you can ask it or prompt it with any sorts of questions. So for example, if I want to prompt it by saying, explain the technology of ChatGPT and how it can be useful to a journalist, it will produce a really interesting, brilliant, grammatically correct paragraph. And I can say, can you make an analogy to food? And it will provide an analogy to food. And
oh,
so I'm already discovering that I can use these tools as a way of assisting my own writing in a way that's kind of magical and frankly a little bit scary.
Yeah. And is the idea, this whole idea of machine learning, that if you feed enough data in of Derek's writing style or Scott's writing style, the machine's going to learn and then be able to kind of spit it out?
It will certainly get better at spitting it out, depending on how much information there is. I think it's really interesting that, for example, if you ask this technology to write in the style of the King James Bible, it does an unbelievably good job.
Huh.
But if you ask it about emerging technology, it sometimes doesn't do as good of a job. I think that speaks to the fact that there's a lot of information on the internet from the Bible that the AI can train itself on, but there's not as much about newer ideas.
Okay, let's talk about another breakthrough, a mouse embryo that was formed in a lab with no sperm, no egg. How did it happen?
It's really remarkable. I remember I asked a scientist that I know out in California what he thought the single biggest breakthrough of the year was, and he said it was this, without a doubt.
Oh.
It's just astonishing the degree to which we can create life in a lab without a sperm or an egg. And of course, it scares some people. It makes them think of, you know, the pods in the Matrix. But I think the implications of this technology are more about our mastery over stem cell technology to maybe, you know, create organs, to create all sorts of different tools and all sorts of pieces of life that we can use in order to improve health. We don't have to go straight to, you know, the science fiction future where, you know, every human being is being born in a lab. It's more about our mastery over this particular bit of science that could pay in all sorts of dividends.
Another field we're making progress in is cancer. Your article has a couple remarkable advances in not just slowing cancer down, but actually making it disappear.
Yeah, that's right. This was a year of unheard of breakthroughs. We had unheard of breakthroughs in colon cancer, in breast cancer. It's extraordinary what we're able to do right now. It has to do with all of these different platforms coming on at the same time. We're getting better at protein manipulation. We're getting better at mRNA technology. You know, cancer is not one thing. It's 4,000 different things that we just lump into one word. And we are building enough tools to counteract so many different kinds of cancer right now.
Yeah. More on the way, hopefully, more drugs and treatments on the way there. Also, MS, multiple sclerosis. I have a rooting interest in my own household. My spouse has MS. What did we learn about where it comes from?
We are just beginning to learn that many different viruses can have a long-term impact. So, for example, we know about long COVID, the idea that many people, millions, tens of millions of people have gotten COVID, but a small minority of them get long COVID. There is a virus called Epstein-Barr virus. It's a virus that is associated with mononucleosis. It's very, very common to get it. But there was a study that found that people who had EBV were something like 30 times more likely to have MS. And it's possible that multiple sclerosis is a long-term effect of this very common virus. So we might be able to think of it as long EBV. And the reason this is so important is that we found that vaccines against COVID are not only good against preventing COVID, it's also been good for people who have long COVID. It's conceivable that as we pay more attention to Epstein-Barr virus, we could vaccinate against it, and that could have all sorts of really important downstream effects for people with MS.
Yeah, wow. There are so many versions of we don't know when it comes to MS, so this is striking. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. You can go to our website Here and Now for his full list of the 10 science and technology breakthroughs of 2022. Derek, thank you as always.
Thank you.